Our community of fetish creators is at the heart of everything we do at Clips for Sale. Together, we'll help you elevate your sales and brand to new heights. Join C4S.com today and unlock the full potential of your brand and build your fetish fan base. Because at Clips for Sale, we believe that community is the key to your success. The letter C, number 4, letter S.com. C4S.com.
Authentically Kinky, and it is presented by Dating Kinky and is powered by Clips for Sale. And here is your host, John, or as we like to call them, Hi There, Catsuit.
And welcome to our new adventure with Clips for Sale on Fetish Friday. It is the Fetish Friday Creator Spotlight. Hello, everyone. I am John, also known as Hi There Catsuit, and each week I'll be joined by a different Clips for Sale creator to allow you to get to know them a little bit better, know their work, and know why they are who they are. And our first guest is Tony DiNozzo. Tony, it is great to have you along with us for our first ever Creator Spotlight. Tell me a little bit about what your store is all about.
My store has a ton of fetishes, everything from foot worship to cream pies, belly worship, giant clips, giantess clips. I have over 12,000 videos in my store, and I run the gamut through most of the fetishes, ball busting. My favorites and my top sellers right now are dry humping, kissing, belly licking, cream pies, and anything in the taboo category are the ones. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. But I have a lot of other stuff that I have in there, and it's really a gamut. I enjoy the process. I don't really have any favorite fetishes myself.
So Tony, what got you in to wanting to do fetish material?
Actually, it was 2009. I was running an in-home personal training business that I owned. I had four people working for me. One of them was my girlfriend at the time, and she wanted to get into business. She actually wanted to get into the porn business. So I supported her, and she went and she shot a couple of times and she liked it. And me, as coming from a background of always working for myself, I said, how hard could it be? Let's shoot our own stuff and take it from there. We didn't even know Clips for Sale existed. We actually learned from a model named Haley Young, who was an established porn star at the time. And I have to give that girl props, because without that girl, I would not be in this business full time now. She went out of her way to help us at no cost to us, like time involved for her. She was such an amazing person that I didn't expect, because I didn't know anything about the business. And to meet someone as sweet as that, that did so much, like she literally gave us a binder of producers to contact, of fetishes to shoot. Like, we knew nothing. This girl literally launched us into our first month shooting. We made $25. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, working every other Wednesday for a couple of hours, we were at $2,500 a month because of this girl. And then once we hit $5,000 a month, we went full time and I shut down the personal training business.
Wow. As I have seen your pictures, you definitely were in the personal training side.
I'm a former competitive bodybuilder and mm-hmm. also a competitive powerlifter. I competed at the Arnold in
Columbus. Yes, right up the street.
2020, I competed there. I took fourth. Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding is something where you have to genuinely love yourself and maybe even hate yourself a little bit to drive you.
It's a lot of hate myself.
Tell me what it is that drove you in that bodybuilding business.
Actually, I started working out when I was six. We used to have in 1971, we had they called it the President's Physical Fitness Test.
I remember
push-ups, sit-ups, you ran. I loved it. And I started working out every day. All I ever wanted for Christmas after that was a weight set. I wanted to train with weights. And it's funny because finally in 1979, rather, I got my first weight set. My parents were tired of me using all the furniture in the house as workout equipment. And I knew what it was as soon as I saw it. And I opened the weights first, and I was running the stuff down to the basement. And my mom stopped me and said, "You have to open the other stuff too." I was like, fine. So I ransacked it real quick, threw it on the side, and I spent the rest of the day with my weight set. And I've been just since then. I started competing when I came home from the Marine Corps and loved the process of competing. Not a fan of, at the local level, bodybuilding is great. The competitors are awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just a bunch of regular guys. Once I got to the national level, all these prissy little guys that love themselves so much, I just remember thinking at that level, there's no one here I would hang out with. So I moved over into powerlifting, and then competitive powerlift, even at the Arnold. Like, I went there by myself with no one. Met somebody within 10 minutes. That dude attached himself to me because he saw I had no one. He was my spotter, my confidant. Woke me up from naps because I'm old. I take a lot of naps. So he would say, "Hey, get up. You got to do stuff." But yeah, and I'm still friends with the guy I met. He was actually a competitor of mine. He took third. I took fourth. And dude walked me. He had been there before. And it was my first time. I was nervous as hell. The Arnold was a dream of mine since they started the Arnold in the 80s. And I got invited out of nowhere, and I was like, holy crap, like, I have no clue. And I was scared out of my mind, and this dude was awesome, and we're still friends.
Going back to your early days, when did you have the smallest inkling that you might be kinky?
To be honest, for most of my life, I was very vanilla. But certain things about women, like, I guess you would say I had an ass fetish, because a girl could have a homely face, no boobs at all, but if she had a nice butt, holy crap, I was incredibly attracted to her. Like, unbelievably so. Like, I love a nice pair of fake boobs. My ex-girlfriend had really nice fake boobs, but when I met her, she had no boobs and an amazing butt. Like, just, there's a thing about a nicely shaped butt that I don't know what it is.
That is the definition of fetish, when something just overwhelms you that you absolutely fall in love with it.
Yeah, like, I'm still like that. Like, I look at a nice butt, like, holy crap, I can't make that.
12,000 clips.
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
I can't imagine that, especially since it's difficult for me to get to a play party every 2 weeks. How do you make time for that?
Right now, I work probably one day a month because my store is self-sustaining.
Wow.
But because I have so much content already, and I focus on just what, like, Clips for Sale is awesome because they email you every day and tell you what you sold. So I look at what I'm selling at the time, and I'll schedule somebody to shoot with in that month. And I look at what I'm getting emailed the most about, whether it's cream pies, belly licking, dry humping, kissing, whatever it is. And I'm planning my shoot. And that's my primary thing. All right, I have to shoot this. I'll try some other stuff. But I know, like, right now, this is what people are looking for in my store. And it varies from month to month. Some stuff is pretty consistent. Like, you know, I get a small belly licking order, and then I get like a foot worship order. And then I'll have like a $200 taboo sex order. And I'm like, all right, they're still into the taboo. So I have to fit that in there a little bit. But yeah, a lot of it's really in this business is paying attention to your audience more so than yourself. And I've tried to get, that was hard for me to learn, was to pay attention to what my audience are the most important people. Like, I have a lot of fans on X videos. My X videos blew up out of nowhere. And every single person that writes to me, I write back. I'm honored that they would take the time to write to me. And like, I get the same response every time. Oh my God, you wrote to me. I'm like, yeah, you're the reason I can do this. You're more important than I am. Because without you, I'm working a regular job.
When you think of as our show is called Authentically Kinky, mm-hmm. when you think of authenticity, when did you feel as though you are now presenting your authentic self? Because the thing that I hear so much in these interviews is, this is the real me turned up to 11. When did you start feeling that, when it felt like the real you?
I think it depends on the fetish. If I'm shooting a cream pie video, I have no scenario. I think cream pie is, I never considered it a fetish until I got into the fetish industry, because I thought, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's how babies are made. But like, that is a big thing for me. Like, even to me, like, the best part about a cream pie is after, when you're still inside the girl. There's something about that where she's accepting it. That's the part that I like, is her acceptance of it. Like, because you're still in there and you're still like, it doesn't stop. Like, it flows for a little bit. And the fact that she's still accepting it, and it's still like, I guess, like, from that part, I'm a romanticist in that, because like, I don't have a script. The girl doesn't have to talk if she doesn't want to. Most of the time I let her lead the way. I'm like, whatever your comfort level is, let's shoot this your way. So all my clips don't look the same. Because if it's me, it's just going to be missionary cream pie, because that's my favorite, with a whole lot of kissing. So do some stuff, surprise me. Like, I have one girl I work with, it doesn't matter what kind of video I shoot, she'll turn it into a cream pie sex scene. Like, all right, this is a belly looking scene. And next thing you know, we're naked, and 30 minutes later, we're funny. But everything that girl shoots for me sells. So I'm like, you know what? You know more than I do. So whatever you want to do is fine with me.
Part of this entire journey for me, because I got into I've always had a fetish. I've had a fetish going back to when I was 3 years old. Really? That's how I originally got into fetishes. I've had a skin tight clothes or catsuit fetish.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, ever since I saw Julie Newmar at three years old on Batman, I think I was stuck. So
I was more a fan of
Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt. Oh my God. Her and Janet Jackson were two of Janet Jackson on Good Times in the early 70s, because her and I are close in age. The first time I saw Janet Jackson, I was like, who is that?
Did we have any idea that people in our youth would end up becoming so much a part of our sexual selves moving forward?
I don't think so, because in the 60s and 70s, most of the stuff you did was outside with other kids. Mm-hmm. So you only knew what they knew. Like, now kids have access to the internet. Like, they look at that stuff and they can plan ahead and say, oh, this is what I like. But when I was a kid, like, even at 12, 13, your porn was, you found a Playboy magazine somewhere and you were looking at the Playboy magazine going, wow, this is what a naked girl looks like. You know, it's like, holy crap. Like, this is as good as it gets, because we don't know anything. And then it gets better. But I think a lot of what we're exposed to as a kid, like watching Batman and seeing Catwoman, like, there's something sexy about a beautiful woman in a skin tight, shiny outfit. That's like, what was the girl's name in the most recent Batman series? She played Catwoman, Anne Hathaway in that suit. I didn't know I had a crush on her until I saw her. And then I was like, holy crap. I suddenly like this woman.
Well, Tony, I will tell you, especially after a scene I had this weekend, because I enjoy wearing them too. Mm-hmm. Two people in a cat suit together, not wearing one cat suit, but two people in shiny cat suits sliding all over each other. It is a trip that I would love to be able to convert everybody to. It's pretty amazing.
That sounds hot.
So having a connection with your scene partner, that's always got to be so important, especially if your clips are going to be something that people can relate to. What's the best way you have of being able to connect with them?
The best way, like, when I shoot fetishes that I'm not familiar with, It's hard for me to have a connection because during the process, I'm focusing on trying to understand what we're doing. Like when somebody orders a custom, it's a fetish I'm not familiar with. I'm like, talk to me like I'm two. Like I've never done this before. I'm not in the business. How would you describe it to someone that has no idea what your fetish is? Like including like, how is the lighting? Like, am I enjoying it? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Am I really into it? Am I not that into it? Is the girl more into it than me? Like, just explain it to me in a way that I can understand. And I become, for that clip, I become what that person wants me to be. But for fetishes I'm familiar with, like when a girl's licking my belly, I love that. And I am my actual self in that moment, in any sex scene that I do with girls. And I pick the girls I work with because I only shoot my own stuff now. So when I'm in that scene, everything about that scene is real. From the kissing, if we talk to each other, like it's all real. So when I have a lot of female fans because of that, like I don't choke a girl. I don't slap a girl. I respect the girl. And I always want to be on when I shoot a sex scene with a woman, I'm like, we're on the same level. I will follow you. And then I'll go by your lead and see what you're comfortable with. And then I'll do some stuff until we get to know each other. So like, it's all real. And all my sex scenes, belly licking, dry humping, kissing scenes, like that's the real me, not an exaggerated me. That is me on camera or off camera. That is legit me. That is who I am in that moment. And some of the other fetishes, I'm acting a little bit because I don't have a full understanding because I shoot a lot of stuff. So I don't have a full understanding. So I'm trying to give the audience what they want to see. But in my sex scenes and stuff, unless it's a custom sex scene, that's all me. That is I'm not acting at all in any of my sex scenes. That is literally in the kissing scenes and dry humping, all that. That is legit just me.
If you had advice like you were given from that wonderful lady as you were starting, if you had advice for a new creator, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be set on one fetish. If you have a fetish, even if it's your favorite fetish, go ahead and shoot it. But if it's not selling for you, try something else. That's what I did. Like my girlfriend and I initially were just shooting sex scenes with nothing to them. We didn't know. And then we just paid attention to people writing to us on Clips for Sale and saying, hey, would you shoot this? Would you try this? Would you try an inflatable? Would you have sex on an inflatable and pop it? Which we had no clue how much work that would be on a giant inflatable duck was our first one. We thought, oh, this is easy. 45 minutes. We're both sweating. The sex isn't fun anymore. We ended up having to cheat it. She used her thumbnail because this thing was never going to pop on its own. We were working so hard to pop this thing. But I mean, that fetish alone, it more than quadrupled the money we were making. We would have never thought of it. We wouldn't have known it until a guy from Australia wrote to us and requested it. And he actually sent us that duck. And when I talked to people, like I've helped a lot of people get into this business and the ones that work at it are doing it full time and doing really well. It's like anything else. If you work at it, you can do well. If you think it's just going to do itself, like you're going to film 10 videos and you're done. No, you have to work at it and listen to the audience. When I hear people say, I don't read my emails. Like, well, then you're never going to be successful because you don't know your audience. If you don't know your audience, you can't possibly make money.
All I could think of when you were describing that was that and I don't cuss a lot. It's just me, but all I could think of was fuck on a duck.
Yes. That's actually what the clip is called. That is literally what the clip is called. Fuck on a duck. That is the name of the clip. I'm from Jersey. I'm trying to spread out of here, but every other word out of my kids know, like I have three kids, they know, and they're all allowed to curse at home since they were little. Get all your fucks out in the house. Go out there. Don't curse because somebody's going to come back to me.
Funny thing is when my kids were growing up, instead of giving them the talk, we went to the movies and they went to see Bridesmaids with me. Okay. And I said, you've heard people cussing. You've seen people having sex. You've had people doing debauchery. You've had people smoking and drinking. You've seen everything. Any questions? And they turned out to be the best kids ever.
My kids in my house, I tell them, if you're going to do it, do it. If you want to smoke, Do it at the house where I can see you. Don't go sit behind a 7-Eleven someplace behind a dumpster where something can happen to you. Do it here. Do it in the backyard. Don't do it in the house. You know, if you want to try marijuana, that's fine. I want to know about it, because the more you take kids away from it, the more they want it. The more you say, you can't, the more they, and I didn't want them to want anything that they didn't really want. Kids think they want stuff because they can't have it. Mm-hmm. And then they still think, I can't drink. I grew up, my grandparents every weekend, and eventually living with my grandparents after I was 14. Mm-hmm. From the time you're six, you're drinking wine, and you get a glass of wine, and there's this much wine, and then there's that much 7-Up. As you get older, there's less 7-Up and more wine until as like 15, 16, it's a whole glass of wine. But I still wanted the 7-Up because it tastes way better with the 7-Up in it. And we had a gallon jug with no label, because this guy, Tony, down the street made it himself because he had grapevines, the good big black ones, the dark ones that are super sweet with the big seeds in them. That's what he made the wine with. And we just called it Dago Red. There's no label, nothing. Like, I would friends from school come over and they go, what's that? It's wine. Where's the label? What label?
What label?
It's Tony stuff. It's Dago Red. Like, we don't call it anything. We just drink it.
It's a fine vintage. Oh.
Yeah, we didn't name it. You name it Johnny or whatever. Like, call it whatever you want. We're just going to drink it.
Tony, it's been great talking to you, and I'm so happy we were able to introduce you to a different kind of audience that may want to connect with you personally. If they want to find you on Instagram, I think
I don't do much with it, but when I get notifications that somebody wrote to me or somebody followed me, I follow back and I write back to everybody that writes to me. So if anybody wants to write to me, if they have questions or if they're thinking about getting in the biz and they just want advice, like I enjoy that stuff. I'm not an extremely busy person. I make time for people, especially somebody makes the time to write to me, then I'm going to make the time to write to them. And I love meeting new people, so it's cool.
And on the screen is just one of your Clips for Sale stores, but I'm
yes,
sure you
that's
can
my
find
primary.
All. Yeah, you can find all of them from there. Tony, it has been great having you with us, and best of luck to you in your journey with Clips for Sale.
Thank you. It was really nice meeting you. This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Nice meeting you as well. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm John, also known as Hi There, Catsuit. I hope I've earned the privilege of your time, and I remind you to always remember consent and to love each other always.
Joining us for the show. You can get all the information on the podcast by visiting AuthenticallyKinky.com. You can find our theme song on Spotify. It's called Freya by Masuna, and you can find links to their work on our website as well.
This has been a presentation of Dating Kinky, built by kinksters, for kinksters, poly, queer, trans folk, and anyone not quite vanilla. And it's free.
As a fetish creator myself, I know there are a lot of options to sell my content. But when it comes to a platform that I trust and that works for me, Clips for Sale has always been number one. With reliable payouts, content protection, chargeback forgiveness, and great internal traffic, I know that my content is being seen by the right customers because Clips for Sale invests in marketing to make sure that I succeed. It's time to join a community that cares about fetish creators at C4S.com. The letter C, number 4, letter S.com. C4S.com.